Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside StackUp.org's own Dave Krause. What's up, David?
Man, I got to try and match that energy. I like it. It's a good start. I'm doing all right, man.
David, I realize you haven't been on the show in years, but you need to understand that I haven't been on the show in one full week. I was on my deathbed all last week. So I am pure energy today, ladies and gentlemen. Barrett, do you want to come in and feel what pure energy feels like? Do you want to come here and be touched, Barrett? I'll take that as a no.
Wait, were you asking me something?
Welcome back to the fight, Greg.
Welcome back. You, David Krause, welcome back to the show. Of course, Director of Veteran Services at StackUp.org, a longtime friend of the show. How you been, sir?
I've been doing all right, man. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I mean, I'm alive. I can breathe a little bit.
I was saving this for the show because I wanted to ask you on air, but I saw that you were talking about building the PC finally.
See, and you just showed your whole ass to everybody, David. Yeah, I was. In an April Fool's Day video. In an April
Fool's Day video.
This April Fool's Day video blew up on me so bad. Because it was one of the people who clicked and signed up for Patreon to watch the Greg Way vlog about it. We're like, I got what I was expecting. So many people, legitimate, good-hearted people, people who 100%. Own PC companies, reached out to me and were like, the day's finally come, Greg. Let me help you. What do you need? And I'm like, no, you fucking PC idiots. I would never do that. And then God struck me down with a sinus infection.
I say you protest too much, man. If it starts, a lot of truth is said in jest. It started with April Fool's 2024. We'll see what 2025 brings. You got me on that one, but I will not relent. And one day, I look forward to waking up and seeing the one and only Greg Miller.
Where were you going to go? If I said, I'm thinking about it. What were you going to do? What were you going to do?
Where was this conversation going to go? Your years of bashing PC.
Oh, okay.
Now that's probably not going to work.
You're just going to be like, you fucking hypocrite. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Well, hey, I'm being honest. I could have lied to you. I could have come up with a story real quick. I was like, no, we're just going to own this.
But that's why I love you, Dave.
I was going to harass you.
You're an honest individual.
I'm going to save it. And I'm going to keep it in the pipe for when you do actually finally.
Well, eventually all consoles are going to go away and I have to. And of course, my Steam Deck isn't a PC. My Steam Deck's a handheld, so it's very different. I don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Very different. It's going to be the gateway drug for a lot of people, Greg. And honestly, I didn't even register the April 1st thing, and I kind of just assumed that that was the trajectory of that.
I appreciate that that's how many people engage with the content. They just go, scroll on by. They don't even watch it. You know, you don't even care. You sicken me. I'm kidding. David, of course, you're here. I said at the top, stackup.org. We all know it well. But if we don't know it, what is it and why are you here?
StackUp is a military charity supporting active duty and veteran service members through gaming and geek culture. Our mission is really simple. We want to prevent suicide through gaming and geek culture. That's it. Those of us that have been gamers for a long time, you obviously get this. And honestly, look, folks, if you're watching Kinda Funny right now, you get it. Gaming saves lives. It's a place for community, for people who would otherwise be isolated geographically or just mentally. And so having a community where we can get people together playing games, giving them something to do that's fun together, that also provides an outlet to kind of like talk with your buddies if you're going through some stuff. We just find that that's been a really effective way for us to reach people who are going through challenges, because for a lot of us, it's what reached us when we were struggling. So we've been going strong for, this is our ninth year, Greg.
God damn.
Yeah, dude, it's been a long time. We are weirdly like sitting on like an official reported number of like 1,500 supply crates right now.
That's incredible.
Which is crazy because I threw some. I wanted to update my numbers before I came on, and it was like, oh my goodness, so we're sitting on a really round number right now. Because there's stuff. Sometimes we send stuff out, and I don't. Like, it's just like you'll hand stuff off, and then that's it. But 1,500 is the minimum. So it's like we've sent well on our way to 2,000 supply crates overall, and that's just, you know, one of the programs. Of course, we do morale boosting trips for vets to go out to like Game Awards and Summer Game Fest and PAX and E3. Rest in peace, all that stuff.
Never forget.
As well as just what we're doing through the community and through, you know, crisis mitigation through our Overwatch program and stuff, and our stacks out there doing good work in their communities. Under our banner. So that's us in a nutshell. I'm sure I'll get the opportunity to dig into a couple things, but that's the broad stroke.
Awesome. And of course, Call to Arms fundraising beginning now. Get over to stackup.org.
That's it.
Find out how you can support and you can do stuff, and they got a whole sort. There's amazing things to go.
I can do a plug now if you'll let me.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. So, what we're doing is May and November are our biggest fundraising cycles for the year. So that's basically our Super Bowl, right? Like, Greg, this is old hat for you, but for those of you listening who will be hearing it for the first time, right, we do fundraising throughout the year. We have most of our money comes in at like the $5 and $10 level through Twitch streams, honestly. Sure. We have folks out there on Kick doing good work for us, folks raising money for us in like other streaming spaces, but you know, by and large, the majority of it is coming in through Twitch. And we work with Donor Drive, as many other charities do. And so it's really as easy as, if you want to know more about this mission, go to our website, find us online, join our Discord community. Like, you can do any of those things. But if you prefer to do your own research and you decide you would like to join the ranks of folks answering the call to arms and streaming for us over the month of May and throughout the year, you can go over to it's stackup.donordrive.com. But it's also like totally Googleable. I tested it myself before just to make sure. Like, you can just Google Stack Up Donor Drive. I don't remember what that link was. Google it. It's really easy. We're on Donor Drive. You can set up, you can register through there, and it'll go right to our influencer relations team. So you don't even have to talk with us to ask questions until you can just go register and our folks will reach out to you.
But I love talking to you.
Get the conversation going there. So there's the pitch. What was that, Greg? I missed that.
I said, but I love talking to you, because you're like, you don't even have to talk to us, but people should talk to you. You're amazing.
Well, I hope that you would, but I also understand sometimes you're just peopled out and you're like, man, I just want to go sign up somewhere, man. Can I do that? And we got you covered.
I was going to say, after a week of being locked up in my bedroom, I'm definitely not peopled out. I'm ready to talk to individuals.
Oh, I know. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
I'm with you, man.
I want to call out one that went through here in our chat over here on Twitch. Monkey Love said, I went to PAX East with Dave and Stack Up back in 2019. It was an incredible experience.
Go. 2019. Appreciate you, man. I'll have to get the Twitch chat pulled up so I can follow along with y'all.
Well, I got to go through a bunch of housekeeping right now, so you got plenty of time to do that. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're not just talking about StackUp.org, an organization you should support and stream for. We're also talking about the fact that Embracer is splitting into three groups. We have Tales of Kinzera reviews and so much more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about live on Twitch, YouTube, and podcast services around the globe. If you love that, we'd love you to go get the Kinda Funny membership either on Patreon or YouTube. With just $10, you keep this 11-person independent operation going. And of course, in return, you get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You get all the other podcasts ad-free. You get to watch the other podcasts in the afternoon live as we record them, like the screencast trailer reaction to Deadpool and Wolverine we're doing right after Kinda Funny Games Daily, like the Kinda Funny podcast you'd be getting this afternoon as well with your Kinda Funny membership, also ad-free. That's the whole deal. And then, of course, I've been off a week. You also would get the multimedia exclusive, Greg Way. That's right, my audio and video podcast show from my car often is going on each and every day. You get an episode with me. Sometimes it's Roger. Paris Lilly says he wants to do one, but every time I hit him up, he's like, oh, I'm too busy today, Greg. Shut up, Paris. Why'd you even get it put in my head that you could help me out then? I digress. Of course, no bucks to toss our way. No big deal. Like, subscribe, share, YouTube, podcast services around the globe. If you're one of the very special people watching live right now on Twitch and YouTube, remember you can use YouTube Super Chats to be part of the show as we go with your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else under the daily video game news sun. Housekeeping for you. In case you missed it, a new game showdown is available featuring Elise and James Willems. It's up at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. There it is. It was a movie episode. Everybody loved it quite a bit. And of course, James is incredibly funny. And Elise likes the Muppets.
And Nick was there.
I was going to leave that part out, you know? Didn't need to bring that part in.
I mean, like the cat was already out of the bag, elephant in the room kind of thing. He's on the screen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that, Krause?
I said, who doesn't like the Muppets?
Greg Miller, that's who. Everybody all right, Muppets overrated. Muppet Babies underrated. Muppet Babies are the superior versions of the Muppets.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that
Get out of here. God damn, man.
I think that's a great opinion to have. Great.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Ovazapian, and Delaney Twining. If you're wondering, the doctor says this cough is going around and could be here more than a month. Today, we're brought to you by the Kinda Funny membership, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you for going a little bit longer there on me, Baron. I needed it. You know what I mean?
Needed the breather.
That's how we're gonna have to do it the rest of the way. It's gonna be a little bit of that. You gotta read where the coughs are going and how we're gonna play it. Okay.
It's okay. I'll make up for you aging.
I don't think that's it.
Oh, really?
The cough isn't shingles like when Nick got shingles because he's old.
Oh, okay.
The cough's going around. Ben around. Well, Ken, Ben like, had it before me. Ben's still coughing. He's a baby. Number one. No, actually, I'm sorry. Number 1A, because this is broken up into multiple things. Embracer Group announces plans to split into 3 separate companies. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Swedish games and media holding company Embracer Group has announced its plan to split into 3 separate entities. The group will separate into 3 companies. Asmondi, that's number 1. Coffee Stain and Friends, that's number 2. And Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, that's number 3. Each which will be listed as a separate company on NASDAQ Stockholm. As part of the separation process, Embracer has entered into a new financing agreement through Asmondi, which is worth as much as 900 euros? 900 million euros? Is that the euro sign? That doesn't look like the euro sign to me. Barrett, Google that sign. Let me know what that is. Embracer says the proceeds from this will repay existing debt and reduce leverage in the remaining Embracer group. Asmondi will continue to operate as a publisher and distributor of board games, trading cards, and digital board games. It is the euro. Damn, I don't know why they look so foreign today. Maybe it's because I've been off for a week, you know what I mean? I'll tell you what, too. I slept the entire time I was gone, Dave. I feel like $1 million right now. Notice how I'm reading and not tripping over every word and being that's what happens when you don't stay up till 3 in the morning playing games.
You're very radiant today, and a week of rest is a pretty good deal, man.
Barrett, go change my schedule. Barrett, change the schedule so it's a week on, a week off, a week on, a week off, okay? Just for me.
Yeah. It's pretty rad to be on here with you. I was just talking to my wife and to the Stack Up guys yesterday. I'm like, man, you know, believe it or not, man, I was a little nervous. Like, man, I haven't been on the show in so long. I've been doing a lot of traveling, man.
Sure.
I've been doing a lot of my living in this office right here, just plugging away on work. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to snap in. And having a Greg Miller come in and have to kick the rust off a little bit has been encouraging. So we're in it together, man. I'm right there with you.
I love you.
Hey, Wayne in the chat nails too, buddy. It. Says, feels like $1 million, sounds like a buck.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You all got 3 more weeks of it. Strap in. Asmondi will continue to operate as a publisher and distributor of board games, trading cards, and digital board games, and will consist of 23 fully owned studios. Coffee Stain and Friends will focus on PC, console, and mobile games, including, quote, community-driven free-to-play games, shit, live ops games, and indie/AA games. It will operate under premium and free-to-play divisions. The premium segment will consist of Coffee Stain, THQ Nordic, Ghost Ship, Tuxedo Labs, Tarsier, Amplifier Game Invest, and others. Well, I'm glad that this is, we're not even done yet, and I'm glad this is so much more clear as to what the fuck is going on over there. I digress. Back to the article. Finally, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends will be a, quote, creative powerhouse in AAA game development and publishing for PC and console, end quote. It will own the Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider IPs, along with the likes of Dead Island, Metro, and Kingdom Come Deliverance. Studios joining the Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends will include Crystal Dynamics, Dam Buster, Eidos Montreal, Flying Wild Hog, Tripwire, Vertigo Games, Warhorse Studios, and 4A Games. Woof. Now that's just A. There's a B coming up, but I mean, right off the top, Dave.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. You know what I mean? And as somebody who's been from the beginning, it seems like a bad. What is Embracer doing? What is THQ Nordic doing? Well, they're becoming Embracer. What are they doing?
I don't know what anybody's doing right now.
And now you're here, and you got Middle Earth Enterprises and friends. Now, I'll tell you right now, Bear, can I have my one? I made a great Garfield and Friends joke on Twitter today, and a lot of you didn't engage with it, all right? That makes me feel old, but also makes me think you're stupid for not knowing how great Garfield and Friends was. Because Garfield and Friends was a great show. And it really could, did it need to be Garfield, Wilbur, and the gang? No, but I mean, like, Garfield and Friends always felt insulting when it was like, sure, you could go, Odie's a friend, John's a friend, Nermal's a friend, but it wasn't, they weren't even the friends. It was the barnyard people that they made up and gave their own separate show to. Remember, it was one show that then split. Now, did it make more sense than Heathcliff? Where there were two fucking Heathcliffs for no reason? Yeah, it made more sense than that, but it was insulting. All right, back to the why. Thank you so much. For me, it's the one that's just like Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which is all Lord of the Rings shit and Tomb Raider.
That's a lot. I don't know how Tomb Raider fits into it, but I'm for it.
You're for it? As long as Tomb Raider still exists.
I don't know if I'm actually for it or not, man. It is interesting, for sure. I'm still kind of hung up on Garfield and Friends, because I got to ask you, as a fellow enjoyer of Garfield and Friends,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on the later season where it was just the Garfield show, and it was more computer animation? Because I got to say, I felt like it was a mistake to go away from the Garfield and Friends style.
It was a huge mistake to do that. And I think, you know, we can sit here and Monday morning quarterback it. You know, it changes. It's similar to how, you know, when the real Ghostbusters became Slimer and the real Ghostbusters, you're switching things up. But we had that golden period where it was, we're ready to party. Bah, bah, we're ready. And I mean, like, it's just a song that makes no sense. And that's what you knew you were getting with Garfield and Friends. Nonsensical fun featuring a cat who eats too much lasagna. And then a barnyard.
So my son recently got into Garfield and Friends over the Garfield show, which I was very pleased with first off, because I didn't steer him. I let him make his own decision. And then I got to do my thing, which I hope you'll appreciate, which is explain to my son the nuance of the voice acting situation, how the guy who did the voice for Garfield, of course, did the voice for Peter Venkman, and then, of course, Bill Murray, who played Garfield in the live-action show. And I got to go down the rabbit hole with my kids on this like a week ago. It was beautiful.
These are the kind of parenting memories I look forward to making. You know what I mean? As Ben really needs to understand the minutia of the behind the scenes of what's happening on Garfield and Friends. I mean, you remember the episode, of course, where Sheldon finally was going to hatch out of his shell, did just another shell. Just another show.
I actually do, weirdly. I've got to admit that my knowledge of episodes by episode isn't going to be up to snuff anymore. It's been a long time, but sure. I do believe I remember that one.
Wrong Sheldon. I appreciate that, Barrett. For you. That's a good pull, Barrett. Wrong Sheldon. Although, again, there's Annie Potts from Ghostbusters. Janine. It all comes back to Ghostbusters. I digress. Let's go back to the news. So the Embracer Group story has been maddening. Obviously, to see them do all this stuff, and they must know something we don't. And then, no, they didn't. And they lose this $1 billion deal and then start laying people off and closing people out and yada, da, da, da. And then just last month, I feel, in their statement, Lars being like, we're done laying off studios. We feel like we've got the right thing. Mm-hmm. We're all set. And then to get here, it's like, how can you believe a word this man or anybody at the top of Embracer says? To which I move on to number 1B. Embracer CEO Lars Wingfors hopes to stick around till at least 2041. This is Chris Currick, game developer. Embracer Group boss Lars Wingfors has told investors he wants to make good on a promise he issued in 2016 and stay with the conglomerate for at least 25 years. I like Lars better. Lars made the pledge in 2016 when Embracer pushed ahead with its IPO and noted that he still has, quote, 17 years left to fulfill that promise, end quote. Assuming he achieves that goal, it means he'll be sticking around until 2041 at the very least. The long-serving boss reminded investors of his unwavering commitment in an open letter published earlier today in tandem with Embracer's announcement that it would be splitting into three standalone companies to search for, quote, winning business formulas. So again, not splitting into three companies because this is the right thing to do. This is
right.
We got a plan. Splitting into three different companies in search of winning business formulas.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett, if I told you tomorrow we were canceling all the video products and just doing audio products because we were in search of the winning formula, would you feel good?
Yeah.
Okay. What if I rebranded the entire thing to Greg Miller and Friends? What if I just called it that?
Well, boy, you're if I get to be normal, I got some news for you.
If I get to be normal, I'm cool.
Normal's pretty cool. Anyway, sorry, back to the article.
Yeah, we're not doing this.
Normal's cool. All right. Normally, I got a bad rap from Garfield, but Normal was super cute. Normal, he was a lovable little gray cat. What wasn't to like? I digress. Back to this thing. Mm. Quote, my journey started more than 30 years ago trading comic books to collectors, and I have always dreamt to build something meaningful and significant. For me, building a business is not about reaching a certain size or position. It is about the journey to turn many small and sometimes a few large steps into something greater, he wrote. Today is clearly a day when we take a bigger step. I am so excited to imagine what the coming decades will bring. At the IPO back in 2016, I made a promise to the stakeholders that I would be around for at least 25 years, and I still have 17 years left to fulfill that. I have always dreamt... It's so hard not to be incredibly negative and angry when you read this. So many people lost their jobs, their livelihoods. So many companies have been closed and really just gutted and become different things because of the decisions of the Embracer Group, of which he is the face, of which he is the head. So to sit here and be like, I have always dreamt to build something meaningful and significant. All right, well, have you done that for any of the people who have lost their jobs or any of the IPs that are now in Embracer hell? For me, building a business is not about reaching a certain size or position. It's about the journey to turn many small and sometimes a few large steps into something greater. The journey so far has been a bloodbath. The journey so far shouldn't be celebrated. I look at this three, you're breaking it into three things. Awesome. I think it was Blessing was sitting here with me on one of the many times we've done this and talked about Embracer Group. And the question was, how much longer does the Embracer Group have? Will it be here in 10 years? Yada, yada, yada. It's like, we were both like, no. And then you look at this and it's like, of these three now independent companies with terrible names, will any of them be here in 5 years? Do any of them see their stuff actually get published and get put out?
Something will make it out. I mean, they're going to try, but I don't know. You're right. It's hard not to go negative, and I try not to, right? And so these stories are coming up so frequently this year, like since January, where it's like, what is even happening right now? Is this just money being moved around? Are these companies just hedging their bets? Like, I'm not a business guru. I don't pretend to have any knowledge above my station, but good grief, man. It's like, I don't understand how you can say some of these things out of one side of your mouth, like say this out of one side of your mouth, and then out of the other side of your mouth, go to your personnel management department and say, yeah, we need like 30% of these people gone. We can't build a better vision with all this dead weight around. Get rid of them. It's frustrating, man.
Obviously, this has happened this morning. Well, late last night, but as we woke up and gone through it. The thing I'm turned around on right now is we've made three independent companies. Where does Lars fit into all of this? I'm going to jump over and just read blind with you from Wesley Yin Poole at IGN.com. Each company will be a separate, publicly listed company, Embracer said. The move comes after a brutal period of restructuring that has seen hundreds of staff lose their job, multiple studios shut down, and the sale of developers including Borderlands maker Gearbox and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake maker Saber Interactive. The largest shareholder, controversial CEO Lars Wingfors, intends to form a new long-term ownership structure and will remain a long-term, active, committed, and supportive owner of all three entities. Great. Perfect. Okay.
Somebody, who was I talking to recently? It's like, man, how can it? It's interesting to me how you can be the CEO of so many companies.
Yeah.
So how can a person be the CEO of multiple companies unless there isn't that much work involved in being the CEO of any one of those companies?
And again, to go back to it of like, you read this and it's like such a glossy, I want to be here. I still have all these years left. He's also in a lot of ways dancing for his supper here, right? Like, he isn't in this position until he doesn't want to be. He does have to worry about the shareholders. He does have to worry about what they want from the company and from these three companies now. So you assume that's where, why he's not addressing in these articles, hey, or this letter, hey, I know everything fucking sucks and I know we have this bad thing and I know all these people lost their job and yada, yada, yada. Still maddening though. This entire thing is maddening.
It's like, yeah, I know. It's like, I get it, right? Like, I know that. From what I do know about businessing, right? Like, you're not, you can't go out and mix the messaging like that. You want to go out and you want a positive message. I get that, but you're right. It's also like, man, we're just ignoring the elephant in the room now. Like, it feels flagrant with everything going on over the last quarter and really since before the new year, even.
Yeah.
It's like, man, we all see this. Like, it's, I don't know. It just feels disingenuous. I don't know. I'm
it
sure
definitely
that's,
feels disingenuous. That's a great way to put it. It feels disingenuous. And I think once again, it's the business meeting the reality where there's the way the business types in the suits talk to other business types in the suits and the shareholders, right, in the stock market versus what people on the outside and people who consume and cover this on a daily basis are seeing and understanding of what's actually going on over there. But
yeah,
we will, of course, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned and keep you posted on everything happening at formerly Embracer, you know, as Mondi, Coffee Stain and Friends, and of course, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Good God.
And Friends.
And Friends.
Well, I'll be honest. I was behind the news cycle on that. So when you said that name, I thought that was a joke until I was going through the notes. I'm like, oh no, that's actually it.
That's the thing. Wow. That's the one. Let's move on to story number two. Tales of Kinzera Zao reviews are up. Right now, Metacritic, it has a 76. Open Critic, a 74. Jarrett Green at IGN gave it a 7 out of 10. The worst thing I can say about Tales of Kinzera Zao is that its platforming and level designs are fun, clearly inspired by some of the best Metroidvanias around, and don't really produce any moments that rival those inspirations. Its combat, though, also simple and familiar, manages to sing thanks to a small but meaningful offering of different skills and enemies. And the action is ultimately just a satisfying break from the main attraction. A truly moving tale about how to go on in this world when your loved ones have passed on to the next. Nicole Carpenter at Polygon gave it no score. They don't score their stuff over there, but wrote, I ended the game in tears as Zao's story concluded, for I, too, am experiencing grief in my own life. The anticipatory kind. But grief nonetheless. I'm not ready yet to accept that, and I'm not sure that I ever will. But I leave Tales of Kinzera Zao knowing that relief is possible, however far off it may be. And then Jordan Ramey over at GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10 and said, Surgent Studios' debut game, Tales of Kinzera Zao, is another incredible EA Originals title.
Jordan Ramey.
What did I? And I said Ramey?
I think so.
Thank you very much. Jordan Ramey. Tales of Kinzera, one we've been watching here. It is going to be reviewed this week on a Mega Games Cast where we are doing a billion reviews. It will not, you will get that Wednesday when it posts everywhere because there's embargoed stuff included inside of it. I have beaten it. I have played through it. I have wrapped up on it. I'll save my in-depth thoughts there. Overall, I'm more in line with probably Jarrett from IGN with the 7 out of 10. I think the game's beautiful. I think the soundtrack's great. I think the performances are great. But for me, as somebody who's not even a Metroidvania fan, I thought it was very, okay, this is a Metroidvania. I'm just doing all these things. I didn't feel like it was doing something spectacular or noteworthy. I even booted Prince of Persia right afterwards to be like, I'm not crazy, right? Because as a non-Metroid, I'm like the Guacamelee kind of guy, right? And I played Prince of Persia. I'm like, oh no, this is on another level just from the opening, right? But my biggest disappointment is what drew me to the game was the fact that I love those emotional stories. I love to cry when I play a game. I love to feel something when I play a game. When I went through the entirety of it, I didn't hear. So I mean, I'm glad that people are calling it out that they felt connected to it. But as somebody who wrestles with grief, I think on a daily basis, I had a really bad day yesterday with it. It's one of those, like, I expected this to really hit me and knock me out, and it didn't. So for me, overall, I was like, huh, Okay.
Do you feel like it's harder for you to get there, like emotionally with the game, if Absolutely. You go into it expecting it?
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
Versus going in blind and then having it kind of surprise you with something.
It's a great question. That's correct. I think back on how rare it is to get emotionally blindsided, right? Like, I feel like most of the time when you're sitting down to play a game, you know at some point, oh, the review, the preview, the messaging of it, it is about that. But that is a great point that, like, I guess in... Because I'm thinking of, like, stuff like The Wreck or Before Your Eyes or whatever, where it was like, oh, this is going to fuck you up, but I don't want to talk to you why. This was, from the beginning with Abu, right, like, hey, this is about grief. This is about losing my dad. This is about that. And so maybe I did come in with my own preconceived notions of how much that would hit or what they would drive at on that front. And I think, you're probably right that it did something to me in terms of like, oh, right, I'm ready for this. I hope this will be cathartic for me.
Yeah. I can't say one way or the other, but keeping it in the kind of EA sphere. I mean, the last game that surprised me, and I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it, but was Jedi Survivor.
Sure.
That game surprised me, and I ended up reacting emotionally to a couple moments in that game where I was like, whoa, I wasn't ready for that at all. But I think if I'd have gone into that game expecting to be moved, I don't know that I would have been, if that makes sense. I'm speculating, but...
No, but like where you're at, and I like what you're thinking, right? But I would even go there. I think one of the reasons the emotional moments of Jedi pay off the way they do is because they build perfectly to them, right? Where it's like, you're on the journey with the characters, you make the connections, you da 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 da. Whereas I feel like this one is very much like, I'm the son, I'm grieving, I'm going to go do this thing. Mm-hmm. And then you go through it, and I just felt like there was a lot of telling rather than showing. Like, from the beginning, I knew what this kind of was going to be, and it kind of was that in the end or whatever. But that's interesting. I like that. We'll address more of that on the Gamescast, because, of course, Blessing has played it as well. I think I saw, Tim told me that he saw... Paris wants to talk about it on the XCast as well. So you're going to get a lot of tales of Kenzera talk here in the next few days on Kind of Funny. So be ready for that. Like I said, a big old review episode Wednesday morning, youtube.com/Kind of Funny Games. Podcast services around the globe as the one, the only Kind of Funny Gamescast. And if you like the Gamescast, if you like Games Daily, then we would like you to go to Patreon or YouTube and get that Kind of Funny membership. With the Kind of Funny membership, of course, you can get each and every episode ad-free. Of course, you can get the afternoon podcast live as we record them, like a trailer reaction to Deadpool Wolverine, like the Kind of Funny podcast. And of course, you could get the multimedia experience known as Greg Way each and every weekday. But guess what? You're not using your Kind of Funny membership benefits right now. So here's a word from our sponsor. Kinda Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kinda Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kinda Funny podcast, In Review, the Kinda Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You XOXO, the Kinda Funny XCast, the brand new series Kinda Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kind of Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Greg Way vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's going to be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kind of Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Greg Way. You can get your Kind of Funny membership on patreon.com/kindoffunny or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kind of Funny membership offering to YouTube so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kind of Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kind of Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But The $10 Kind of Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kind of Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And right before we went to that ad break, some people in chat wanted to be clownies. Said, Greg, take some cough syrup. Greg, go to the doctor. You've had that cough for weeks. What do you think this is? What do you think these are? I did what Kevin wanted. I went to the fucking doctor when I was on my deathbed last week. And here I am, still coughing. The doctor says, cough's going around. It's going to be there a month. You don't want me to be on 3 more weeks of me not on camera? 2 more weeks I'm not on camera? Barrett, this place almost fell apart without me last week. All right? Views in the toilet. Snowbike Mike walked out.
Sure.
Joey applied for other jobs. What happened? I went to see the doctor. When Kevin was telling me to go see the doctor when I was on the Twitch stream, what did I say? He's just going to give me cough medicine and say it's going around. Well, guess what happened? They did that. They gave me an antibiotic, but that was for the sinus infection. That wasn't the same thing. Get off my back, everybody. All right? What do you want? You know what I mean? Number 3 on the Roper Report. Ayudin? Am I saying it right now, Barrett?
Nailed it.
Ayudin Chronicle Review Roundup is here as well. This is a Metacritic of a 78 and an Open Critic of a 76. Jess Reyes at IGN gave it a 7 out of 10 and says, once you get past its slow start, Ayudin Chronicle, 100 Heroes, mostly succeeds in weaving the stories of multiple countries and characters together into a sprawling epic. Its turn-based combat system operates smoothly, even if other modes like its strategy RPG battles can encourage simplistic strategies over critical thinking. And while collecting and experimenting with its titular 100 heroes can be entertaining, you won't get to know the majority of them because of how much screen time they need to share with its bloated cast. Still, there's plenty of satisfying side quests and castle building to fill in the gaps, which makes 100 Heroes eventually feel worth the journey. Meanwhile, over at Game Informer, it got an 8 out of 10 from Josh Broadwell. Ayudin Chronicle, 100 Heroes is a good reminder of why the RPG genre left some parts of its golden age behind. It's also a testimony to what makes the genre special and the power of good storytelling to move and inspire. Admittedly, rigid adherence to archaic structures makes those first impressions tough to look past. But a creative battle system, extensive party customization, and top-notch writing make up for the retro jank. And then Con Saren over at Game Informer gave it a 3 out of 5 and says, a big throwback RPG that doesn't meaningful mess with Suikoden's 30-year-old format. Or formula. Of course, this was the one most people were looking to be the, hey, we love Suikoden, let's get this one. I think it's from the original creators. Was that the rub of it?
Yeah, and he recently passed away, I think, as well.
Did not land for a lot of people. For me, the most damning indictment came from the one, the only, Jason Schreier. Jason Schreier, of course, a big JRPG fan. Him and I line up a lot with our love of things like Octopath Traveler and Octopath Traveler 2. Jason went to Twitter yesterday when the embargo lifted and said the following. Of course, Bloomberg. I forget if I said that. But on Twitter, Jason said, I finished Ayun Chronicle 100 Heroes a few days ago, and I'm so sad to report it's a messy, disjointed game with tedious activities and a disappointing story. Plus, a critical bug prevented me from recruiting one of the characters and seeing the true ending, and as of right now, it still isn't fixed. In many ways, Ayuden Chronicles, Ayuden captures the Suikoden feeling, from the rousing pre-intro cinematic to the castle that grows as you play. But it's missing the emotional core that made those games, especially 2 and 5, great. The three protagonists have no personality, and the grand political plot turns out to be tropey anime nonsense. And it's so janky. I really wanted to love this one, but alas. And then he goes on to list bugs and things like that, but if you can't get Jason Schreier through the door, you're not going to get most people. David, was this ever on your radar?
A little bit. This is one of those games I scroll past regularly, and then I think about, oh, that might be worth checking out, and then I remember that I still have Octopath 2 on my backlog. I haven't touched that yet. I haven't played Chained Echoes yet. Okay. I shelved all of my turn-based stuff when Sea of Stars came out and gave that all my attention, which was amazing.
Yeah,
smart. But it's like, I know that I've got these other incredible games right there just waiting for me to get to them. So I'd probably land on a similar footing to Jason. So maybe I take a pass on this one or see if they do some updates that maybe bring me back around later.
Yeah, I feel like this is a tried and true story. Creator comes back to the, you know, genre that they helped define. You're trying to live up to this legacy, this thing, and then you get there and it's not exactly what it was, right? You look at Mighty Number 9, right? You start going down that list. You Callisto Protocol. Like, you can run through it. I look at a game like Judas from Ken Levine, right? Like, is that going to live up to the BioShock standards? Previews were super hot on it, so you hope so. But it seems to be an ongoing issue with people where it's like, oh, they want to jump in, but it doesn't work and it doesn't do the thing, and we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
I feel like much like Metroidvania, I feel like the turn-based, like, we're in a good season right now of turn-based RPGs coming out. We've been in a feast of Metroidvanias for years, and that probably won't, that who knows when that'll change, and I don't mind because I love both genres, but it's if it wasn't hard enough already, it's getting increasingly difficult to stand out, I feel like, in both of those genres. Like, you really got to bring something unique to the table for it to blow up for you.
Well, that's what's so great about the fact that there's so many people making those games now, right? Where I think you can look and say, oh man, I'd love to see a storied creator come back to a genre and do something, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But I'm always, not always, but I think most of the time, more interested in the people who, hey, I grew up playing these kind of games. I loved these games, and now I'm going to make them. And like, what does a modern new take on those things look like? And it's why, for me personally, I do love, I think I am, I was, you know, Barrett and I always joke around about this because I never finished Persona 5, but I was such a Persona 4 and Persona 3 fan, right? Where it's like, I'm a very specific JRPG person in terms of what I connect with and what I don't. Octopath and Octopath 2, I adored. Didn't roll credits on either of them, but put lots of hours in on my Switch. So it's like the fact of what they changed and made modern about those games works for me in a way I've never put that type of hours into the original Final Fantasy VII. I tried multiple times. It just never worked for me.
Fair enough. You're full of opinions today that I'm like, man, I feel like there's a conversation there. You're not the only one I know that Final Fantasy VII kind of bounced off of. I feel like that was more divisive than it gets credited for.
Now, well, I mean, it's like
pretty well liked by most people. But I remember I had friends who were diehard Final Fantasy heads. They're like, nah, I don't really know about this one.
Wow, really?
I loved it.
But, interesting. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think it's
like, not a whole lot. I mean, most people liked it, but you know, I try not to turn my nose up at people who it bounced off of.
As the timeline has moved on, right? Like, it's an understood classic. It just doesn't work for me. And I think that's like, again, the whole thing about different strokes, right? Where even for me jumping into Tales of Kinzera and being like, well, the storyline I love about this, I want to go see what it's about, right? Mm-hmm. For me to go through and do that, it's like, I'm not a Metroidvania guy. Like, I like Guacamelee and I like Guacamelee too, right? But it's like, I'm not the, oh, I've beaten Symphony of the Night and I did this and I went back and they just put out the Prince of Persia one and da 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 da. Even though I did like the opening of Prince of Persia enough that I think I might go back to it eventually, but we'll see. I digress. Number 4 on the Roper Report. El Paso Elsewhere film adaptation in the works with Lakeith Stanfield in talks to star. This is Catsy Steven over at Variety. Hit neo-noir video game El Paso Elsewhere is heading to the big screen in a new film adaptation. Academy Award nominee Lakeith Stanfield, parentheses, The Book of Clarence and Judas and the Black Messiah, is in talks to star in and produce with Lorenzo D. Lorenzo D. Bonaventure Pictures, the Transformers and G.I. Joe franchises. Colin Stark would also produce. Released in 2023, indie game El Paso Elsewhere was developed by Strange Scaffold, a development label of BAFTA-nominated game developer, writer, and voice actor Xavier Nelson Jr. The third-person shooter draws inspiration from Max Payne, Quake, and Hotline Miami. In 2024, it was nominated for Best Indie Game at the New York Game Awards and for Outstanding Achievement for an Independent Game at the DICE Awards. Fuck yeah. This is one, obviously, we've played around here and loved a lot. It was part of the GDC stream, not this most recent year, but last year before that, when Mr. Nelson Jr. was on. And he was just on Game Showdown as well. Came through and did that. So we love to see him succeed and move on with that. But always cool to see this. It's another one where it gets me worried. Gets me worried of, like, they announced the game update. Is it actually going to happen? We're not. I'm old, David. You know this. So I'm just so used to them announcing video game movies, and then they never happen.
And then never doing anything.
Yeah. Lots of them are happening nowadays. Lots of them are happening nowadays. So I'm not saying that's the norm, but it's like, still, I'm hopeful.
Well, it definitely feels like it's shifting. Now, I don't know how much longer we'll have to wait till every adaptation that we see come out is generally good. Right? Like we saw with comic book movies where there was, you know, we lived through the dark times. And then when the good stuff started coming around, it was like our patience had been rewarded. It was incredible. It was awesome. And now, depending on which side of the conversation you're on, maybe there's a bit of decline. But you know, there's blood in the water for video game adaptations now, and we've seen it done so well enough times now that it's like, okay, are we finally there where we're going to see this like consistently performing well, consistently being made well? I don't know. Hopefully this one goes the distance, though, because I'll be honest, I haven't played the game, but it looks really interesting, and I was a huge fan of Max Payne. I don't know how I missed this one.
What's exciting about... Well, you should pick it up first, though. What is exciting about it is I love, number one, that it's an indie game getting picked up, right? It doesn't need to be Uncharted. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be Doom. It can be something that you see, like, oh, that's interesting. Let's go do stuff with it. And then, of course, Lakeith Stanfield is just fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like... it's funny, they do Book of Clarence and Judas and the Black Messiah. Obviously, for me, it's going to be Sorry to Bother You. That's what stands out to me.
Also Atlanta.
Yeah.
I never watched Atlanta. So that's the thing where it's like I'm trying to give just more touchstones for it. Yes, Knives Out. I'm looking at the IMDb thing, too. Of like, why? I know him from multiple things, obviously.
Duh.
But he's rad. So the fact that he's in talks to star and produce, that's pretty dope. Oh, Get Out. The chat's calling out. Right. Of course. But yeah. Good. Go get them indies. Go make some cool stuff.
I want to see more. It's a double-edged sword, the adaptations. And but we're in the good spot, I think.
We're learning. It's back to what we're talking about. It's back to what we were talking about with an original creator or somebody who grew up imbibing in the creations, right? Where now it is the fact that, like, I think we're getting better video game movies because people understand video games because they grew up playing video games, right?
Well, Steve always says, like, when we talk about Stack Up, it's like, man, how long until we have a president that plays through Call of Duty every year? Because they just did video games have been a part of their life their whole time growing up. So it's like, yeah, it's kind of cool to see. I mean, not that Fallout needs any more attention, but man, like, they did such a good job with that. I was blown away. It's like, well, all right, if we can get more shows and movies and things being made by teams of people who so clearly get it, you know, that they understood it deeply and how to implement it well. It's like, I'm excited, man. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. You know what? You got other things you got to cover. I could talk.
The show's talking. The show's talking. Talk to me.
All right. Metal Gear. Because I've been out of the loop on this. Whatever happened with that?
Nothing. You know, Oscar Isaac, Jordan Vogt Roberts, right? Yeah, they were all hot and talking about it and yada yada. But I think what the pandemic happened in the middle of that to break that up
pandemic
even more. Yeah. So you know how it is.
I hope this is what we're talking about. Man,
people announce shit all the time, and then nothing ever happens.
Yeah, I think that first Metal Gear, man, it made a real compelling movie.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe, you know, now that Hideo's got his Death Stranding movie happening, though, maybe somebody's like, true. Let's fix it. Let's bring it back together. Get back out there, Hideo.
Well, he's also they just now was it OD? Was they going to do? Going to do his. Everybody's kind of looking at it to be the spiritual successor, right?
Yeah, exactly. Stealth
espionage. The last official word we got on the Metal Gear movie was 2020, where it was reported that Oscar Isaac was playing Snake. And that was the last.
So that really was the last piece of news. Good grief. How's it been 4 years, Greg? Where's the time going?
Don't get me started. Flies by. Number five on the Roper Report, IGN is doing a crossover with ID and Xbox for a digital showcase April 29th, 2024. This is from the Xbox Wire. Last year, you got a firsthand look at, I always fuck this one up. It's not Karateka, right?
Karateka?
Okay. Axiom Verge 2, Sea of Stars, and many other incredible games during the first IGN Cross ID at Xbox Digital Showcase. Today, we're excited to announce that the show is returning on April 29th, 2024, with another batch of hotly anticipated indies for you to play across Xbox and PC. On top of epic trailers, fresh gameplay, and new reveals, the show will feature new details on upcoming games like Dungeons of Hindenburg, 33 Immortals, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, and many others. The ID at Xbox Showcase will premiere on April 29th, 2024 at 10 a.m. Pacific, and you can tune in across all IGN platforms. Dave, we love indie games, so this is good news.
We do love indie games. I want to keep seeing more shows like this.
Yeah. I like to see a lot of them where they don't step on each other.
I never got around to playing Axiom Verge 2, but I loved the first one. And obviously, Sea of Stars, I've known those guys for a long time. So these titles, again, I guess I've just been, I've been out of the loop even more than I thought. I've just been kind of in the trenches working, but these aren't, I'm not familiar with them, but I'd like to be.
Well, you will be after April 29th, on Monday.
I will be after April 29th at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Of course, Dungeons of Hindenburg, we've heard a lot about. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage is the new Don't Nod game, which I'm excited about. And then, of course, Baird is showing Hollow Knight Silksong.
I'm going to do it for every event now.
Every it's event fun. Now.
I was going to say today.
Okay.
I trust that they still have not said anything, right?
They've said jack shit about this. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Just glad to know there's consistency.
Let's move on to story number six. Rare opens a new eco-friendly studio building. This is Rob Dwyer over at Tech Radar. Xbox has revealed that one of its studios, UK-based Rare, developer of Sea of Thieves, has constructed a new sustainability-focused studio. A mass timber building called Barn X. Throw them up. The construction has multiple eco-friendly features and design solutions built into it, all of which combine to reduce the building's predicted energy consumption by 63%. The building is solely electricity powered, using no gas. There's some wizardry with condensed water, which saves on usage in things like flushing the toilets. And there are 750 square meters, more than 8,000 square feet, of solar panels on site that will potentially offset 138,000 kilowatts of energy every year. Enough to power more than 438,000 Series X consoles. Great. Microsoft, there's a whole bunch of other stuff in here. Microsoft aims to go carbon negative by 2030. Great.
Sure.
First off, let's just address the most important thing out of this is that they called it Barn X. That's fucking cool. That's fucking cool. We name this place the spare bedroom.
Anything you put X on, is this going to be, are we going to go back to putting X into the branding for everything? Because I don't know that I'd hate it.
I like it in this. Yeah, I like it in this one. Good for you, Rare. I guess. Ah, shit.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, you've been on this show before. Remember?
I have, yeah, once or twice.
There's an old thing I used to have you do.
Faint memory of talking to somebody who roughly sounded like you.
There's a thing that I needed you to do, but we've changed the thing. So if you have the doc, you'll be set. But if not, we're going to get into uncharted territories, all right? So that's great about Barn X. But frankly, Dave, I'm sick of all these big stories, these big news items. If I wanted small news, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
I'm going to guess that you, let's see. I'm looking at this list and I'm not knowing where you're pointing.
It's highlighted. It's right above story number seven.
The Wii News Channel.
Yeah. You go to last story, the Wii News Channel.
Is that the name of the channel?
There's the thing above it. See at the back above it, there's a thing that's highlighted and it's bold. Barrett's moving it around. There you go.
Yeah. The Wii News Channel. So it says.
Yeah, but no, read the thing. See how it says the bold part.
Okay.
You go to our last story.
All right. Wii News from PlayStation.
No, God damn it, Dave, no.
What?
No.
What are we doing?
You're missing the line. You go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover the small news items you need to know about. Fuck!
here. You're being a terrible leadership.
And I'm aware. It's a me problem. I know. Fuck. Number 7, the Wii News.
I'll read it.
Fine, read it.
All right. Well, you get a hold of yourself over there, Greg. It's ridiculous. From PlayStation. Due to ongoing technical issues, which resulted in the Little Big Planet 3 servers for PS4 being taken offline, rest in peace, Little Big Planet rocks, and Little Big Planet 3 rocks, being taken offline temporarily in January 2024, the decision has been made to keep the servers offline indefinitely. All online services, including access to other players' creations for Little Big Planet 3, are no longer available, which is actually genuinely tragic. From IGN, EA has made Star Wars Jedi Survivor part of the EA Play subscription in some PlayStation regions. IGN has confirmed Respawn's Action Adventure is now part of EA Play on PlayStation in the UK. EA has yet to make an announcement, but the move comes ahead of an expected price hike for the subscription service. Tales of the Shire, a Lord of the Rings game, received a new trailer and launches this year on Xbox Series X, PS5, Switch, and PC.
Hell yeah!
We have a trailer for that. And lastly, Power Wash Simulator surpassed 12 million players. There you go. The Wii News.
Shout out to the chat who immediately deemed it Wii's News. Wii's News.
Wii's News.
And then I did not like seeing Benny B. Good say he's doing a better job than Greg. But he was. He crushed it, Dave.
Hey, anybody can shine. You can shine up a turd for a day. You know what I'm saying? You've been out here doing this every day. I gotta give respect to the
well,
the
remember, I've had a week off, so I should be better than this. That's true. We go to Super Chats to see what's happening over there to close out the show. TJ Perry. Yeah, no, TJ Perry gave a Super Chat and said, is it hard to give less than good remarks on a game made by people you become friends with after having them on the show and whether they'll hear? Great question, TJ. I can only speak for myself ever, and the answer is no. I've always thought very clearly that, you know, if you're going to become friends with a developer, and again, I think friends is an interesting term. A lot of people you see on the show, I'll call friends of the show, acquaintances, you know what I mean? Where when they come through a preview cycle or at E3 or whatever, we'll go get a drink or maybe I'll see them at a party or yada, yada, yada. Not, but it's not like, you know, I'm taking my kid to meet their kid and we're all running around or whatever. And there's rare exceptions of friends like that or whatever, right? but no, for me, never, because both of us have a job to do, whether their job is to make the game or my job is to talk about the game. I'm going to give my honest impression of the game and go from there. And if they were ever to get bent out of shape about that and have a big problem with that, then I think they were never a friend to begin with. And it wasn't that kind of relationship, and that's fine. You know, I've talked about it. I've been doing this, 17 plus years now. And, you know, the only time... Yeah, I'm thinking of like problems where I've had a flare up, right? With somebody who actually, after a fact, wanted to talk. Like, there's the one where the one company that will remain nameless tried to bully me, and then my boss shot them down at IGN immediately. There was one time when I was in charge of the PlayStation team early on, they said they had a problem with our review for MLB The Show, and I didn't review it. But I was like, well, I'll get on the phone and talk it out. And I was expecting it to be, hey, this score doesn't reflect what the quality of the game is. And what it actually was, oh, we don't give a shit about the score. It's they're calling out lighting here and saying this is a reused asset. And it was like super technical thing. I was like, oh, that's very impressive that that's what you wanted. And then like from a PR friend, I might get an acquaintance, whatever, you know what I mean? An occasional like, you really thought this game was only X, Y, and Z? And I'll be like, yeah, like, nah, all right, fine, fuck you. But it's like that jovial thing more than anything, right? So yeah. It's never been a concern for me. It's never been an issue for me. That's why when I talk to Nolan North, I still bring up Dark Void all the time. Because what a piece of shit that game was. You know what I mean? But Nolan's always got a good attitude about it. Let's see what's happening in You're Wrong. Of course, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or later or live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in and tell us what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Somebody's trying to give me an image. There's no image there. Kebab says karateka is how I'm going to say it, is Japanese. So it would be pronounced karateka.
Karateka. Okay?
Karateka. Why did he write Kara then?
I don't know.
Because, you know, he's wrong on top of us being wrong. But who cares? And then finally, Nolan Massey Media says Jedi Sir. Jedi Survivor is coming to EA Play Game Pass on the 25th. This is confirmed by Wario. Are you? Okay, so the date is the new thing. Because I was about
to... You made me a liar.
No. He's giving you additional information. So it's that we didn't have the time, the date yet. Because I was about to swing back. Gotcha. But you're right. Okay. I'll let it slide. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily in the books. We're here each and every weekday to run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Of course. If you like what you hear, get that Kinda Funny membership on Patreon. Get it on YouTube. Get each and every episode ad-free. Of course, you can watch us record our shows in the afternoon live as we record them, just like we're about to do with our Deadpool Wolverine trailer reaction. And then, of course, the Kinda Funny podcast in the very end of the day. And then, of course, Gregway, each and every weekday for your viewing and or listening pleasure. Today, I talk about... Hold on. I already recorded it. It's a good one. It was out of the blue. Oh, Hot Wheels. I talk a lot about Hot Wheels, and then I talk about my wrestling entrance theme. So I'll take you on a journey as I always do. David, you were fantastic, as always.
Oh, you're very kind, as always. You're a gracious host, Greg.
Where can people keep up with you, and what should they do for Stack Up?
You can keep up with me. I have social media. I'm on Twitter more than anything, but I'll be honest, guys. I keep a pretty low profile personally. If you find me out there, say what up. I always got time to chat and hang out. I love talking with people. But really, what you can do for Stack Up is, even if you're not a streamer, right? Like, we've got a Discord server. We got a pretty big and active Discord server. We're constantly doing game nights, constantly engaging with our community, trying to do cool stuff. Check us out on Discord. And if you're a streamer, I'm asking you to consider raising some money for us this year. You guys are seeing what's going on industry-wide, and that affects us, and that's been affecting us too, right? Something that we've been pretty transparent about in our meetings with our community and in our open town hall meetings, everything. But this year it counts more than ever, maybe. So if you're a streamer and you think you're a fan of our mission, which is preventing suicide through gaming geek culture for those who serve not just the U.S. but allied nations as well, then I encourage you to go over to StackUp's Donor Drive page. That's stackup.donordrive.com, or you can just Google it using any combination of those words, and you'll find it. Register, and our influencer relations team will reach out to you, and we'll get you taken care of and make sure you have everything that you need to put your best foot forward in supporting our organization through fundraising. And that's really what I want to point people to. Thank you for those of you dropping links in chat. Really appreciate it.
David, it's a great organization, and you're a great person. Thanks for spending your morning with us.
The pleasure's all mine, man. Thanks, you guys.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.